Good morning. Well, we finally got our rain last night. Isn't that nice? We're talking about trust this morning. I wonder this morning, what are the points where you struggle in trusting the Lord? Is there an unanswered prayer that you keep bringing before the Lord that where you're waiting on an answer and you keep bringing this before Him, a place where you need to trust in Him? Is there some difficulty you face for which God is still to provide a remedy? I know I have some of those prayer concerns in my own life, places where I'm caused to be tested in the way that I trust the Lord. Psalm 40, which is what we're going to look at this morning, gives a great look into some of these questions regarding trust. And Psalm 40 is certainly not the end-all chapter when it comes to trust. But there are insights here for the questions we ask about trust. I remember one time having a conversation with my kids, I think it was my two older kids, and we were talking about church and attending church, and one of them said, "Well, you know, we only go to church so regularly because we're a pastor's family, and you know, in a pastor's family, that's what you do, you go to church." And then I heard the statement, "Well, my friends think we're just super religious, so that's why we go to church." And I guess I get it. You know, I think I understand what it must look like from the outside. But to them, my answer was something like this: I don't go to church because I'm super spiritual. I think my kids probably already had that one figured out. I don't go to church because I'm super spiritual. I go to church because I trust in the Lord, and I want to share with others what the Lord is doing in my life. I want to hear from others what God is doing in their lives. And so when we come to this place of worship, it's a time where we can celebrate together what God is doing in each of our lives and corporately. And I think we sense that as we move forward in this phase of our lives here at Metropolitan. I go to church because I have a relationship with the Lord. And this is an opportunity to share with others who are trusting Him and also have a relationship with Him. So what does it look like to trust in the Lord? And what does my trust in the Lord have to do with my church? And how do I return to the Lord if I haven't really been trusting Him in some areas in my life? We're going to think about this morning as we look at chapter 40 in the book of Psalms. This chapter is actually a declaration of the life of trust versus a life of self-direction. There's a contrast here in Psalm 40 that we're going to look at this morning. So pay attention when you hear these contrasting statements, because I think there are some lessons that we can learn as we look at these contrasts in Psalm 40. Listen as we read Psalm 41 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will put their trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and he has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak them, they would be too numerous to count. So we're going to look this morning at these contrasting statements in Psalm 40. On the one side, we have the perspective of the person who trusts. And we can describe their trust in four simple statements from this passage. First of all, the person of trust waits patiently for the Lord. It's right out of the gate here in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. The one who trusts in the Lord must wait patiently. You know, when you see the word waiting, especially in the book of Psalms, it's really another word for trust. That when we wait on the Lord, it's not just, you know, patiently waiting, but there's trust involved in our waiting upon the Lord. You know, waiting isn't usually easy, though, is it? Have anybody here had to wait this week, wait in line, wait at the grocery store, wait in a fast food drive-through lane? Waiting is not something we like to do. The person of trust, secondly, sees God as the rescuer. This is in verse 2. God is the focus. He's the one who we're waiting upon for an answer. This is as opposed to trusting in another, maybe another God, maybe a person. It's also opposed to trusting in ourselves. So we're waiting on God, not another. It's God, the Lord, our Savior, who we're waiting upon. And it's also not trusting in ourselves and waiting on our, trusting in our own abilities, our own strengths. Thirdly, the person of trust has a song in their heart. Verse 3. Have you ever been so happy that you just had this song that was like coming out of you? You find yourself in traffic or, you know, somewhere, and you're just singing a song because you're just so satisfied. This is a great word picture for the person who trusts in the Lord. When we trust in the Lord and are satisfied in Him, He gives us a song in our heart. And we come here to worship together. We come with a song because it's the Lord that we've been waiting upon. And He's the one who brings answers to our questions and our doubts. Number 4, the person of trust is happy or blessed. Blessed, when you see in Scripture, is just another word for a person who's satisfied, a person who's happy because they're trusting in the Lord. And finally, the person of trust is focused on God's goodness and provision. We see this in verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. When we know that it's God who is the one who is answering our prayers, we bring praise to Him and we focus on His goodness and His provision. We don't focus on something we did. It's not a focus on our accomplishments. It's a focus on what God has done in our lives. It says further in verse 5, He is so incomparable, you can't even begin to count the ways that He can meet our needs when we trust in Him. This is the description of the person who trusts in the Lord. Well, what about the opposing person? What about the opposing perspective? The life of the self-directed person. And there are some contrasting terms in Psalm 40 that describe this kind of life. It talks about the pit of destruction. We see these word pictures like the miry clay. It gives you a very visual image of what it's like to be self-directed and trust in oneself. I can't help but think of the prodigal son when I see these two word pictures, the pit of destruction and the miry clay. The prodigal son who made the choice to go away from his father's provision and his father's care. And where did he end up? The end of the story is that he ended in the mud with the pigs. And that's what it's like when you stray away from trusting in the Lord. So these two word pictures give us the idea of what it's like to go it our own way. And maybe you've been there. I've been there at times in my life where I tried to go my own way and sort of trust in myself, bring about the ends I desire through my own strength, ignoring the Lord's provision. It doesn't usually go so well, though, does it, when we go our own way? Verse 4 mentions the word proud. Has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Being proud means having a false belief that God needs me to fix things for him. God doesn't really need us to fix problems for him, does he? He's fully capable to fix things on his own. And really, thinking that God has problems, you know, like I can fix God's problems, it's prideful to think I can fix God's problems. It's really prideful to think God has problems. God doesn't have problems. We have problems. God doesn't have problems. It's just more evidence of how prideful we really are at times. I love what it says in Psalm 10:4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Jeremiah 9:23 through 24 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have an understanding and know me. When I see these two lines, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, it reminds me of the verse that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this structure is all through the book of Psalms. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Isaiah 66:2 says, has not my hand made all these things? And so they come into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. It's the Lord who we are to fear. And according to verse 4, the result of pride is one of the results is lapsing into falsehood. Some versions say, turn to false gods. It's really the same thing, because to be proud is to put something above God, whether it's another God or whether it's ourselves. Turning to false gods. I think about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Really, at the root of their troubles was pride. You know, this is a story about back in the early days of the church when people were selling properties and possessions and laying the proceeds at the disciples' feet. And Ananias and Sapphira, this husband and wife couple, decided to sell a field but hold back a portion. And it wasn't so much that they held back a portion and only gave a portion, but it was the idea that they presented it in a different way. They were dealing in falsehood. And it was pride that drove them to that end. They were prideful, and because of that, they were caused to deal in falsehood. And you know, we all have that same temptation. And pride is so sneaky that sometimes it just creeps into our way of thinking. And the next thing we know, we find ourselves dealing in falsehood. This is what it's like to be a person who is self-directed rather than trusting in the Lord. Well, I want to bring some observations, just some general observations about this passage. You know, it's interesting, nowhere in this passage does it say that the person who trusts in the Lord receives everything from him. It never says that if you trust in the Lord, he'll give you everything you want. You know, there's this notion out there that says if you're close enough to God, he'll just give you, you know, like a Santa Claus. If you just trust in him, he'll give you everything you want. And that's just simply not a biblical idea. God is not a Santa Claus God. It also doesn't say that the person who trusts in the Lord will have a life of ease. It doesn't say your life is going to be all easy if you trust in the Lord. You know, you get this sense as you read this passage that in one sense, David, the psalmist, is trusting in the Lord actively. And in the other sense, it's as if the Lord has already answered his prayer. At the very end of the chapter, we didn't go this far, but the very last verse says, "Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." David is actively trusting in the Lord, even though he hasn't seen all the answers to his prayer needs. We also learn from this passage that we can be happy or blessed even during the time we're waiting for the Lord. Sometimes we look at that time of waiting on the Lord as sort of a detour. We look at, you know, if we have a child we're praying for, or a spouse, or a work situation, and we think, man, if I could just get through this detour and get beyond it and get to the Lord's answer on the other side. But you know, according to this passage, it's possible to feel blessed and happy and have a song in our heart right in the midst of the trial as we're trusting in Him. You can have a song in your heart even though you live with unanswered prayer. Anybody here have unanswered prayer today? I know I do. Until we reach heaven, our prayers will not all be answered, will they? And that's okay, according to this passage, because for now we have the Lord to depend on. We can trust in Him. Another observation is buried in this passage, and the first couple of times I was reading through this passage, I just glazed right over it. And maybe you missed it too. It's buried in the middle of verse 5. It says, "His thoughts are toward us." Do you ever think about that? The fact that the Lord's thoughts are turned toward you. Sometimes we feel like we're, you know, in this distant relationship, that the Lord is distant and far off. But it says right here in verse 5, "His thoughts are toward us." The sovereign Lord of the universe, the God who created this world, is thinking about us. His thoughts are turned toward us. The psalmist begins the passage by saying, "He waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me." The Lord is inclined toward us. That's the kind of Lord and Father we serve. His thoughts are toward us, and He hears our prayers. He's not a distant God. He's a God who hears when we talk to Him. Another observation is the fact that waiting isn't based on our own strength. It's based on His. The focus is really to be on Him. That's really what worship is. We come here together and celebrate what He has done, not what we've done. We're here to celebrate what God is doing in our lives. That's what worship is. We lift Him up. That's the focus of a trusting believer. The idea that He must increase and we must decrease. I love the way that Psalm 62 sort of amplifies this idea. Psalm 62, 5 through 8 says, "My soul waits in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation." I think the NIV says, "He alone," I love the way that is written, "He alone is my rock and my salvation. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." We have to ask ourselves, is God our refuge, or is it something else? Do I trust in Him, or am I trying to go my own way and trust in something else? Maybe myself. Maybe I'm trusting in my own abilities, my own resources, my financial plan. You see, it's not about our strength. It's about God's strength. It's not about our abilities, but it's about His character. And His character and His strength can take care of all of our needs and everything that challenges us. And ultimately, this challenge to trust in the Lord is no different than any of those heroes in the pages of Scripture. All of our heroes throughout the story of the Bible from beginning to end, all the heroes of the faith had this same challenge. Would they trust in God or not? Just think about some of the heroes of the faith and of our faith in Scripture. They face the same challenge that you and I face. Am I going to trust in the Lord in the face of difficulties? Am I going to take God at His word and stand strong in what His word says? You know, we come to the Christian life in an act of trust, but the need to trust Him doesn't end there. That need to trust the Lord goes on and on throughout our whole Christian life. The entirety of the Christian faith is a walk of trust. We tend to think of it as something elementary, you know, something for the beginner in the Christian faith. But really, all of us have areas where we need to trust in the Lord. You know, when others see us trusting in the Lord and see Him working among us, it becomes a testimony to Him. When we tell about how God is working in our lives, it becomes a way for others to see God through His working in our lives. And this is right here in verse 3. It says, many will see and fear. It's the idea that when others see how God is working in our lives, they will see that and fear the Lord and trust in Him. You know, do we give off the sense that God is trustworthy? You know, when others hear us talk, do they hear us, you know, grumbling and complaining about our difficulties in our lives? Or do our comments and conversations give off the sense that the God we worship can actually be trusted? It's a great question to think about. How does the way I respond to the faith challenges in my life show others about God? What does my conversation about the trials I go through say about my God? Does my life say that God can be trusted, or does it look like I'm trying to go my own way? So why do I go to church? One of the reasons is to celebrate what God is doing in my life. And hopefully that is what our conversation is like when we're up here each week on Sunday. Hopefully we're talking about the ways that God is working in our lives. And when we're in our Sunday school classes and we're praying for one another, hopefully we're seeing God at work and we're celebrating His work in our lives. To talk about the ways God has been faithful as I've been trusting Him through my trials. Perhaps you've been dealing with a trust trial. Maybe you're hanging on to something today that you need to let God have. Maybe there's something that you've been dealing with, praying about, that is bigger than you. Possibly there's an area where you need to show God that you trust Him. Maybe there's something you just need to give to the Lord and let Him have it. I want to ask you to do something with me this morning. This might be kind of awkward. And awkward's okay sometimes. Maybe grab a piece of paper and just find a corner of your bulletin and tear off a corner or something. And maybe write down one word on this scrap of paper. Sometimes I think it's helpful when we're struggling with trusting in the Lord to name it. You know, what is it? Is it my marriage? Is it some health issue I'm dealing with? A work relationship? One of my kids? Just give it a name and write it on a piece of paper and kind of squeeze it in your hand and hold it tight. Sometimes when we have these times when we're trying to go our own way, it's like we're squeezing this thing and just trying to squeeze the life out of this trial and fix God's problems for Him, in a sense. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're struggling to give something to God. I'm going to say a prayer in a minute. And as I'm praying, maybe just open up your hand and sort of symbolically give this to the Lord. Maybe you've been trying to control some aspect in your life. Maybe today you need to begin trusting this over to the Lord. Let's do that together right now. Father, sometimes we're tempted to hang on to control of some things in our lives and not really trust you with them. And today we just want to let go and let you have what it is that we've been fighting to control, fighting to fix. Lord, help us to be like the psalmist and to wait patiently for you, to trust in you. We know that you are the all-powerful, sovereign God, and you can fix all things. And even though, Lord, we don't see the answer right now, we're going to continue trusting you with these trials. In Christ's name, amen. There's a verse, you know, when we think about holding on tightly to problems, you let go of one thing and maybe hold on tightly to something else. And there's a beautiful verse in Hebrews 10:23 that says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted." So if you've been holding tightly onto something that you need to let go of, maybe let go and give it to the Lord and hold on tightly to the power of God and to the hope we affirm in Him. Father, we thank you that you are a strong and powerful God, and we trust you with the trials that come our way. In Christ's name, amen.